There's something infectious about that song. Sean Lee and Nicholas Timothy did it. On a dare. Said to them, fireworks needed a theme. You young, talented fellas, do something up. And then they did, and I put my money where my mouth is, which is somewhere fixed in my back pocket. I said, right, commissioned, delivered. And then I did a foolish thing. I went and played before it was finished. I get a call saying, man, the thing ain't finished. You can't play that yet. So I had to wait until they put all the tingies in the background and the explosions and ting and ting and ting. So, good afternoon to you, wherever you are. Fireworks 2019. In association with West Indian Waterproofing, Waterproofing means us, Armstrong Agencies Limited, and the COSCAL. Dissect the festival, talk the music, walk the talk, talk to the people, and it's a fantastic weekend coming up. Fusion at the Lower Court, we got Pan on the Sand, we got Pan workshops going on, and sitting in the studio, with me, no, Bugsy and Gaya. Bugsy resting. I'm going to try to reach him a little later on. And then Liam Teague coming in. I'm going to try to get him too. And the National Cultural Foundation has a new CEO. I ain't get to talk to her for the season yet. So I plan to find her somewhere too, sometime soon. I know she likes mangoes. So if I can't get mangoes, I got to get mango juice, you know, and mango chutney and mango on ice and mango smoothie. I just keep saying, if I say mango long enough, I figure, you know, I can't make sweet bread. So, you know, if she wants sweet bread, to go with the mango juice and mango chutney and anything else, you know, I'll bring the sweet bread or coconut bread. You know. Well, that's only for cricketers. But anyhow, over the years on fireworks, I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of young professionals in the business. I've had the opportunity to have some of them sit with me, not only as guests on fireworks, but to actually join me for various outside broadcasts. And on one occasion, silly me, after a particular show, I brought a gentleman in to sit with me and have a little chat. And boy, did the place explode, because apparently a Calypsonian was not happy with what happened with him at a certain event. And the man I brought in, you know, kind of took over fireworks. As a matter of fact, I got calls from people saying afterwards, man, they should fire you and get you to do the program. He had it hotter than you. But, you know, instead, you're older and things. You know. He's back. He's got a shirt on saying, Trumpet Man, Entertainment and stuff. Kevin, good afternoon to you. I'm speaking, of course, about Mr. Kevin Moore.
Good afternoon, Dennis. Good afternoon, Barbados.
How are you, sir?
I'm great, man.
You're very quiet. You? This is not like you. You might call kids, eh?
Huh?
You might call kids, eh? I just want to know, you know, because I could always call sight. Anyway, Kevin Moore has worked, well, I didn't let him tell you what he has done recently, but when I met him, he was working with the juniors. He was working with a young lady in particular that I took a shine to, Aisha Mandisa. He's worked with the juniors. He's co-hosted with me, as I said, on a couple of shows. And then he kind of dropped off the planet. Last year, I saw him keeping company with some people at Pan Fusion at the Lower Court. And I made a mistake, because I was introduced to a lady. I thought I saw the same lady again. It was another lady. So I got into a lot of trouble with that. But he pulled me out of it nicely. So I pulled him in to find out what's been happening with Kevin since last I saw you. Yeah, so well, back me up to last year or the year before, whenever last we had this chat.
Well, since I've been on fireworks, I've not been on fireworks in a while.
I know. I do.
But I've been pushing Trumpet Boy Entertainment a lot.
What is Trumpet Boy Entertainment?
Trumpet Boy Entertainment is my business, my brand. We do music creation services, music sourcing services. So if you need musicians, whatever the case may be, We can provide
for what, for live events, for doing recordings, for your
recordings, whatever the case may be, we mm-hmm. can provide it for you. We do, as you know, I focus on arrangement and composition for mm-hmm. sure. So I've been very active doing that as well, and that's where my real passion lies, writing for movies and writing music for movies and film. But in the Barbados parlance, is more arrangement and composition and stuff like that.
But you're talking about writing for movies and stuff. The last time I saw you were writing for juniors. Yeah. So that's a big jump. You still write for the juniors? Or just yes a no. junior? Or
just yes and no. Yes, as in, I've not stopped writing for juniors, right. But no, I didn't do it this year. This year I'm focusing, this year I took some time off of that to focus on a project that Trumpet Boy has, a special project we're working on at Trumpet Boy Entertainment. So I pulled back a little bit from writing for the juniors for this year.
This is a clandestine arrangement?
No, not clandestine.
No, I just checked it.
We're just trying to get some marketing and some music out there. So working on doing some stuff, studio, live studio, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Let's back up a bit to the working with the juniors, because over the years, sometimes I've asked you to come and sit with me during the Junior Monarch, and you say, I got horses in the race. Let me put it that way. Over the years, some of the juniors you've written for, go back and call the names, because some of them have been, to me, promising young Kaisonians.
Right. So first junior I would have worked with was Mandisa, Mandisa Butcher.
Who went to... The bigger ranks.
On to the
and
crop
who won?
And, yeah, she won Junior Monarch. Went mm-hmm. on to Pick the Crop.
Right.
Semis. Mm-hmm. I wrote for Sammy G, who's been in the semifinals of Pick the Crop for the last few years consistently.
And is back this year in the mix.
Correct. Mm-hmm. I wrote for Chad Monteplaisir, in his early days of Junior Monarch. Mm-hmm. Ricky R.J. Reed.
Yeah, I want to come back to him. I want to come back to him in a minute.
Mm-hmm. The youngster Joshua B. Mm-hmm. I wrote for him for a couple of years. I'm forgetting some people, but yeah, I did a lot of writing for those guys.
No, I wanted to come back to some of the juniors. Chad, for one. RJ, right? Because in some of these guys, I saw the makings, and Mandisa too, by the way. Good afternoon, Mandy. I saw the makings of future Kaisonians. Yeah. So when you move from the juniors to the big stage, I know Mandy had that night was an unfortunate night. I had seen the change. There was they wanted to boycott, and you know, they were talking backstage and she was a little bit rattled. I know she's not been in competition since then. How have you judged the movement of the juniors you've worked with, those who've continued and those who have given it up?
Well, I'm pleased to say that all of them who have progressed past the junior level so far, also Queen. I worked with Queen for a couple of years as well. Mm-hmm. All of them have remained working in the entertainment industry at some level. They might not necessarily be on stage, but they're still in the entertainment industry. Chad Monteplaisir is with Operation Triple Threat.
Right.
He's very involved there. You know, they do a lot of shows, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Ricardo Reed is actually on the comedy show. He's actually one of the headliners of the comedy show in August.
Mm-hmm.
And he's hosting Junior Monarch currently.
Mm-hmm.
He hosted the semifinals.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a lot of comedy stuff and performances in Barbados regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Mandisa is still involved in entertainment heavily. She is more on the management and creative side, but she
still doing her music work.
Still performs, and she still sings. As far as I know, she's still playing piano. So she is still developing musically,
mm-hmm.
But she's still very involved in the music creation and music management side of things. So most of the guys are still into entertainment and still into performing, but from different angles.
When you listen to the new crop, the younger crop of... Have you been listening to them, by the way?
Well, yes. to an extent because I'm in the band. So I hear I'm in the junior monarch band this year. So I hear from on stage, which is not necessarily what comes out off the stage to the audience.
Right.
So it's always a little different point of view of the band.
I've always said I prefer backstage because I get a different vibe, a different sound backstage, especially at the gym that is not acoustically designed. Although, with the movement of the stage, it's better for the audience, and certainly from a broadcast standpoint, when they swung the stage the other way, back in West, I think it was better than when it was North-South.
Yeah, correct. So what we get on stage is different to what the audience would get.
But talking about
the songs are generally, the songs are generally good. We have some good songs. We have good performers. I think this year the judges had a really hard choice at semifinals, where, especially in like the 15 to 18 category, where everyone was on point on the night, and only five people could go forward. So it was a little rough.
I was going to ask you about the work put in, because again, and the support. Because over the years, I've noticed some schools bring out very strong support. Okay. Well, they did change the format this year, but the work put in to the juniors and their craft, from someone who's worked with them from the arranging standpoint, playing the music standpoint, are you happy with where they are?
I'm happy that there's development happening. You'll like to see more development happening, for sure.
Writing.
Yes, I would like to see the juniors doing more writing, but there's an argument for and an argument against, as in the students can write their ideas. There are some students who can write their ideas, but then they need help enunciating it and putting it in a way that is palatable for the audience.
Right? I want you to hold that thought because I can come back to it. Go ahead.
Then there is the arranging aspect. I don't think that we have many students in secondary school who are at the level that can really bring forward arrangements for that competition. However, in BCC, you might find one or two, but generally, the arrangers for Junior Monarch are the same arrangers for Picket Crop, are the same arrangers for Party Monarch, because the quality, because it's Junior Monarch does not mean the music is junior. The music is not junior. The quality of music is the same. It's just the lyrics and the content for the juniors is a little different to what it would be in Pickety Crop and Party Monarch. In terms of the acceptance and introduction of a party segment versus a bashment segment or whatever, I thought it was nice. They had some songs in. I really think that getting the youngsters to work on it in a creative aspect from the school point of view would allow for the development of the genres a little better, right? Because it's not a one person working on it by themselves on the outside. So there's development happening. There are certain schools, as you said, that are very involved. Hilda Skeen, Hinesbury, primary schools generally, because those teachers generally work with the students with the songs and then call in an arranger. So you find Hinesbury works with Tito Giddens and Hilda Skeen with Roger Giddens and all that sort of stuff. So those guys.
And what's happening to Kevin Moore?
Kevin Moore, as I said, Kevin Moore is working on a different project this year, a Trumpet Boy project. So it is, as I said, I didn't really do much. I didn't do arranging for Junior Monarch, for Party Monarch and Pickety Crop, But for
we can get around to that.
I didn't do nothing.
We're going to get around to that. If you're just joining us on Fireworks, we got Kevin Moore sitting in with us at, in association with West Indian Waterproofing, Armstrong Agencies, and COSCAP. Trumpeter, arranger, writer, project man, musician, Kevin Moore, commentator from time to time. He kind of slipped in there so that he playing with the junior band, so that I wouldn't ask him if he could come and, you know, help me out if I'm doing any of the things this year. So he threw that in very nicely at me early. I wanted to come back to the point you were making, Kevin, about the writing. Because I have some concerns about this writing.
Listen.
And here's my concern about the writing. I am hearing in supposedly senior Kaisos a level of writing that is almost what I would associate with, I won't even say first form, class two nursery rhymes. I know why you're laughing.
You're listening. You're listening.
And to me, after all the work that you guys have done with the juniors, all the work we've done over the years with our product, I mean, if you want to go back to the band days, Coalition, Crossfire, Troubadours, you know, we got the music, right?
Correct.
Then when we got Raga Soca, we had a genre that we were kicking with. And then I find that when we get to Pick of the Crop, we still with what I call pedestrian lyrics, man. And you write, so that's why I got to come to you and ask you where we're going wrong. Our children not learning to write, they're not reading properly, they're not learning.
I think all of those things will play
and yeah. No, because Kevin, when I hear, I went down the road, I met a toad that was carrying a load. Yeah, I kind of go. Every line doesn't have to rhyme.
Correct.
You got, you know. Correct. So what?
I think that in terms of the children, I think the children are look at it as a development project. So they will improve over time, right?
You mean by the time I did? I got gray hairs, man.
No, they will improve over time. But in terms of the adults now, we have accepted whatever was thrown at us for such a long time that I don't think that there is a standard for what should be. And the reality is probably Ian Webster and Adrian Clark and those guys are the only persons that can claim to have a standard for what should be when it comes to Pick of the Crop, because they stayed with Pick of the Crop and they perform every year and they bring stuff of a certain quality. So the perennial finalists, right? However, I think that some of the writing companies have allowed artists who are not necessarily the best at writing to get a product that is good enough to take their performance talent to the Pick of the Crop level. So Water Street Boys, Shane and Ian, they write a lot for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of, I know Bi writes for a lot of people, Gabby. So Adrian himself writes for a lot of people as well. So it is a mere fact of some people preferring, rather than write for themselves, to go to the
companies,
right? On the flip side, if you go into the tents, there are some songs that are expertly written but
poorly delivered.
Mm-hmm. And then there are some where the singer honestly can't sing, they can't get the song over, right? So and there are some of those in everything where they have a very good song, they have a good concept, but the way it put together could have been done a little better or whatever the case may be.
So how do you fix it? I mean, you guys play music, you're musicians, you're professionals, you've been in the production side of things. People don't listen?
I won't say people don't listen. I say everyone works within their own factions and their own cliques to have things done.
Is it working to the benefit of Soca and Kaiso?
I can't say whether or not it's working for the benefit of everyone. It's working for the benefit of some. And for others, maybe not, but it is. For instance, there are some tents where you'll find one arranger do the whole thing, arrange for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, or one writer write for the whole thing. And generally, that's common, because there are tent managers who say, well, there's the man that arrange. You got a song? There's the man that arrange, right? And so you find, and that's what I mean by certain people work with certain cliques and certain group, so you have certain connections happening there. In terms of development, I think that where development really has happened is Sweet Soca has really developed. In terms of our Sweet Soca has been at a good level for the last few years and is really going there.
It's coming back.
Yeah.
And young artists are coming.
Mm-hmm. Party. This year we ain't got that many party tunes. But the development really has to go into them, as well as the pick of the crop. The older artists go work with the younger artists, get the, maybe not trying, it's not to try to get them delivering the same way. Because I hear the argument all the time that why must it be delivered in the same way? Why must it sound the same way? Mm-hmm. Why must it be presented the same way? Mm-hmm. I remember a couple of years ago, Biggie singing competition. I can't remember the name of the song. I think that was it. Mm-hmm. Right? And that was a social commentary. But it was not the traditional social commentary, but it was a commentary about social matters. It's a social commentary. Biggie and Imani had Get Over, which probably was the biggest social commentary in Barbados for years. But it was
with a nice rhythm,
but because it's not presented with the cocker picky,
men say, well, you fellas have some strange names for it.
Exactly.
For this. Okay,
so
cocker picky, yeah, I can't remember that one.
So it is, I think it's a matter of older artists, younger artists, older musicians, younger musicians. Yeah. Older practitioners, younger practitioners.
I notice you turned down the flame. So I'm going to turn up the flame a little bit.
Older managers, younger managers working together to get the product to improve rather than you want to keep the essence of what it is, but you still want to have the product improve as well.
Kevin Moore is with me, and we're talking Kaiso for a little bit. I'm trying to light a fire on him because I got a call Kid Sight apparently for him because he's kind of very calm this afternoon.
Different man, Dennis.
Responsibilities to do things to people, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to come back to Kevin Moore in the studio with me in just a short while. But on the line, I've been trying to reach him earlier, and I've told they are here in Barbados. I wanted to confirm that I could have a little word with him. Len Boogsy Sharp is going to be talking to me shortly. But I got Josanne Leonard, who's managing Boogsy, on the line first. Good afternoon to you, Josanne.
Good afternoon, there, Dennis, and good afternoon to all your listeners.
Welcome to Fireworks. It's good to have you on. It's good to have Boogsy back. I got to give you a little story before I get to this, right?
Uh-huh.
Boogsy came into Barbados some years ago for a show, a couple of years ago, along with Frankie McIntosh, and there was one other arranger with him.
And he was here with Frankie McIntosh.
And they came in for a show, and they were sitting in Studio 3.
Yeah.
And we have Baby Grand sitting in Studio 3. And they looked at me and said, "That piano tuned?" I said, "But you're the musicians. You should tell me whether it's tuned or not." So Frankie went on the piano, and he started to play, and Boogsy and I were talking. And I was signaling frantically to my sound man to turn on and record, because I don't get a chance to hear these fellas just playing just like that, right? So we missed the golden opportunity. But anyhow, it's a story I remember, because in the room that day, I can tell you, the kind of, heat, and we had a nice chat. So I'm looking forward to chatting with him again. But you've brought him back. It's Pamp on the Sand on Sunday. And I hear you're also doing some workshops.
Yeah, Len has been through the NCF, of course, which is responsible for Cropover and reviving, I suppose, or re-energizing Pan in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
So Len has been here. We came in on Sunday morning, and he went straight to work. He's actually performing with Nicholas Branca and his band at Ilara Court on Saturday.
Saturday night. Uh-huh.
So they're actually going to be, they did a bit of jamming, and they're playing one of his original compositions Saturday.
Uh-huh.
So he's been rehearsing with them, and that's been terrific, you know, being in the band room with Nick and his band. And then the band itself, Phase 2, along with Silver Stars from Trinidad and Panache from Antigua, will be performing at Pelican for the Panyard Lime, and that's on Friday evening. That's tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tomorrow night at Pelican Center. Saturday, Len performs with Nicholas Branca and his band and the whole lineup that they have for Ilaro Court.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Sunday, of course, all the bands will be on the beach.
The beach, yeah, Brandon.
For Pan Pond the Sand, yeah. Mm-hmm. But Len has been doing these workshops. Really very interesting, but he'd talk a little more about it. I think it's the combined youth ensembles that they have here. So he's been at the Queen's Park Steel Shed.
Right.
And he actually took some time to be more than just theoretical, because he's a hands-on man. So he actually has taught them a song. Jesus Loves Me, a hymn that everyone knows, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And
Given the Len Boogsy Sharp arrangement.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday, you know, Dennis, yesterday was saying, after the verse and chorus, I think, and you begin to hear a little bit of the motifs in there, mm-hmm. said, they're sounding like a big people band, boy.
I got to tell you this one, too. It was a bad story, not a good story, a bad story. I always have stories. I said, when I get to the pearly gates, I want them to put aside the harps for that day, because I want to hear some pan. And a gentleman called me and tell me, "You ain't hearing no pan at pearly gates. You hear when you go down in hell." So there's still got some people who believe that pan can't play hymns, all right? So you're going to have to change that. We will have to change
Bajans
that.
Bajans will learn that, you know, and I think that was the little chat with the kids. When I say the kids, I mean they're somewhere between maybe 12, 13, and about 18, 19.
Young so adults, Josanne,
young
be
adults,
careful.
Yeah. but that the instrument is as versatile as any instrument that we've inherited from the Europeans.
And absolutely.
The pan plays everything, classical, jazz, contemporary, soca, calypso, ring bang. It plays everything, you know. So it's exciting, because Len has been here before, and he's a name that most music people would know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we tend to have a kind of cultural amnesia in our region.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good time. And the fact that he's so focused on trying to to mentor and pass on to young people and not just deal with the big guns and the big name musicians, because he's done it all. And now it's like sort of ushering another generation. And I think that was the great thing about being in the band room, watching them rehearse, because there's a cross section. It's cross generational. I mean, there's Nicholas and I forget the name of the keyboardist guy now, and then experience people like Tamara Marshall and Indrani, you know, in terms of backup vocals, and then these younger musicians who are coming out of BCC and the music programs here. And it was just wonderful to see that sort of musical interplay. So you have maestros and virtuosos, and you have the young up-and-coming ones. And it's a kind of thing for them to learn too, to be in the presence of people who represent greatness in, in what it is that they do, you know?
Well, John, that's one of the things that I think we, those of us with Caribbean roots, we've got to try to pass on to the next generation, that to just have some Caribbean musicians. I mean, you have the Frankie McIntosh, you have Boogsy, and you, when you're around these guys, just to hear them talk, the music transcends the few miles of water between us. You understand that the vibe goes from island to island. And no matter the upbringing, no matter where they come from, what language they spoke, whether your mother shouted at you or not, there's a connection that the music makes. I hope I haven't lost Josanne. Yeah, I have, unfortunately. Let me try to get her back. Let's do this. Okay, so I lost Josanne there a second, but I got her back. You're back with me. Yes, Josanne.
Yep.
Right, no.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Yeah, accepted. You know, one of the things I think we have to understand about the Caribbean and the way we work, Pan has transcended the islands. It's moved from island to island, I think, more smoothly. I've often said that I think we'll integrate the Caribbean through our culture as opposed to the political side of it and the economic side first, right? That's my belief. But when you look at Boogsy's introduction into the Pan, for example, and let me give him the proper introduction before we bring him on while I'm talking to you. For those who don't know about Boogsy and Phase 2 Pan Groove, let me give you a little history lesson. Nestled in between St. James in Trinidad, the place that never sleeps, and the city of Port of Spain, the capital city, there's a community called Woodbrook. It used to be residential with a few Chinese restaurants and the Oval and the Carib Theater, and a few businesses. But these days there's more casinos and businesses than residences. But 147 Tragory Road was the home of Invaders Steel Orchestra. Now, Invaders was one of the bad boy pan sides. They used to fight back in the 1940s and stuff. So if you lived on 63 Tragory Road, you were obviously an Invaders man or a Starliff man, if you were brave enough. And then out of Starliff came this fella called Boogsy. And this group called Phase 2 Pan Groove that didn't have a sponsor. And so it was a kind of shake-up of the Woodbrook and Otusum. That's a correct history. Is that a correct enough history? So anyway, so what I'm saying is that Boogsy grew up, I suppose, listening to older Pan men, you know, playing music. It wasn't a case of, you know, as far as I know, somebody taking him and say, this is where the C note is, this is where F, because these fellas had individual pans that nobody else could play. So when you come out of that environment, there's a level of creativity that I think is stifled by what I call too much formal training, if I put it that way. That's my introduction. You want to challenge it? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm with you. Is that kind of how it went?
Yeah, you're correct. And I mean, and what I would lay on top of that is that it's not to diss, as the young people would say, or to poo-poo, as the older ones would say.
The formal
training.
No, I'm not doing it either.
Yeah, exactly. But J genius is genius and creativity is creativity, you know. And the fact that someone like Len, and I mean, one can count them on maybe one hand, mm-hmm. where the music, it's like Van Gogh or any one of these brilliant artists who, it's the gift. The environment may have contributed in a particular way, mm-hmm. but it is really what he has in his head. I always tell people the story of going around Phase 2 for years and years and years. I mean, I've been a Phase 2, a Bugsy Sharp fan and Phase 2 fan for as long as, I mean, as old as or older than my children. And my daughter is 44.
Okay.
So the thing is that I see people, I see music anthropologists and now you even have music forensic people, you know, who can deal with listening to songs to see if there's an oomph of a copyright infringement and so. And I look at them in the yard and listen to the talk about how they, with all of their schooling and training and highbrow, you know, music theory and music history and the rest of it, how they come and how they've come year in, year out. They come to Pan, yes, but Phase 2's yard, the village, represents something pretty significant because of a composer, arranger, musical director like Len. Because it's amazing the way that he creates for the band, or the way that he creates, period. Mm-hmm. You know, it defies all the logic of what you could be taught in the best of the universities, Berkeley, you name them, you know. And so I think that it's like any of the great athletes and the great artists that we've had, that we need. We bumped into Prof. Beckles, mm-hmm. on the way to. We were all in the same flight actually coming over on Sunday.
Right.
And so I ran over to him and I said, "Prof, come meet Len Bugsy Sharp." And he said, "The Len Bugsy Sharp." You know.
That's it.
So of course, the photo op was there. Mm-hmm. So I took it and you know what he said? It was very heartwarming because we're a region that sort of allows the neo-colonial mentality to rule. That is the lettered person and the technocrat, mm-hmm. over and above the creative inventiveness and genius of the region.
That's correct.
And he said, you know, he was having a conversation with Siaga just before, Prime Minister Siaga, just before he passed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Prime Minister Siaga was saying that, you know, we've gone beyond having living legends among us that we have not yet fully recognized and appreciate and placed at the center of our development.
Yep.
But that we now, they almost like immortalize because of what it is that they've been able to accomplish. And so, you know, Len is my buddy. He's my friend. I'm happy to be associated with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually happy for the opportunity that I could work with him. I mean, we might fight and thing, who knows? But I feel that there is a
passion for the music.
It's not just that. It's that cultural confidence, and it's that, and we don't give it to them so much so that sometimes they themselves sell themselves short.
Sure. Yeah.
Because we do not place them in the right ranking. The boardrooms of the Caribbean and the people who occupy the spaces of decision making, mm-hmm. don't understand the power and the impact of what per square mile we have been able to produce in this entire region.
Mm-hmm.
And Len was saying, and he will talk to you in another minute or two, because you and I could go on forever like this.
Yeah, let's not do that.
is the fact that he admires, you know, in a sense, what he's seen so far on this particular trip,
right.
in terms of musicianship. So while we might be mourning all the other things that are sort of kind of coming at our young people, who a lot of them don't want to do the work,
mm-hmm.
instant success, auto-tune, you know, overnight kind of sensations,
mm-hmm.
that sort of reverence and respect and knowing what their shoulders on whose shoulders they stand.
Yep.
And the legacy that they have that they can carry with them, mm-hmm. to propel them even further. And I think he said a lot of nice things, and I agree with him, certainly with the musicians that we've encountered in the couple of days that we've been here. But look, Dennis, me and Hugo will talk, boy.
Because yeah, we will.
We can go on forever on this. But let me put Len on, okay?
Bless, no problem. So thank you. Blessed to you. Okay. Good to have you as well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Len Boogsy Sharp on the air. Good afternoon to you, my friend.
Afternoon to you, boy, Dennis. Long time no see you.
Long time, but it's all right. We're still here, and we're still in the same business. Good to have you back with us. You feeling good? You rested?
Yeah, well, listen. I come here to perform and help all the children and them.
That's what you're doing.
But that's the youth band, yeah. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I'm doing some work with the, as Josanne said, this youth band down in King George, Queen's Park, Steel Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's two bands here, and they have a young group, you know. We're happy to work with a guy, I'm a leader name, but that is what I want to do here. You know, I come to perform, but I want to share my talent with these youths, you know, because it's a pretty good ones. You know, someone that quick, but they will reach the time come. Sorry, they didn't have enough time to come and like spend a good couple months with them.
Right.
To raise their standard, but they have some good ones, and I do one song for them, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Yeah, I was smiling at that one. I was asking if you gave them a good Boogsy Sharp arrangement for it.
Yes, well, you're working on that. I'll give them. So I suppose to go for 3:00, but they go for 7:00. So I talked with the bandmaster.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to take them on the last session so I could have them take
have
them
rest.
One song.
Good.
You know?
No, I got to ask you this question, because one of the things I'd like you to get across to folks is that you did not have formal training in music. The pan brought out your creative side, and you have made a name for yourself across the region. I think there are lots of people, Boogsy, who feel, you know, if I can't buy you this, if I can't play for a pan, if I can't pay for music lessons, I am not anything. And I've always argued that the pan has brought out sometimes the good in people we think ain't good at all. And I would like people to understand the power of that instrument that you've mastered over the years.
Thank you so much. Listen, I cannot read a note of music. I cannot write a note of music. I was sent to about 5 different music teachers, great musicians, men like Sir Lonkan and many others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I go for the first lesson, my parents take me.
Mm-hmm.
I like, all right, the next time I go back, they take my second lesson.
Mm-hmm.
They pick me up, revised me, what I did. I never register. I went about 5 times by him. Tell my parents, he said, listen, this boy not to learn this thing because it's not registering inside. What I do, I paint pan, I can remember since I was about 3 years old, and there's stories before that.
Mm-hmm.
So I born in a panyard.
Right.
You know?
In the middle of Stalif Panyard, right?
No.
Which one?
It was Symphonettes.
Course Offers,
and Symphonettes.
Right.
That was in St. James.
St. James, yeah.
St. James, Port of Spain.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
As a young guy, I had a band too.
Mm-hmm.
Because out of the Symphonettes pine over here, I have some little partners and little friends that I grew up with. And we had a little band. When I was 9 years old, I arranged the music for the little side. You know? And
you're the one people used to call a fresh up young boy.
Yes. I leave and went to Starif in 1967.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And from there, I spent about 3 or 4 years with Starif. And then the band, I learned a lot under the great Ray Holman too.
Ray Holman was arranging then, right?
Yes, he was arranging at that time.
Yeah.
You know, but so I think we had to move on and we just leave Salif and form our own band, please too. But our intention was to go out, and as a matter of fact, we got a little tour to go to England, you know, might come and fall through. But our mission was to go on, so we could put more depend to the world then. We wanted like a 6-man team and 6 of us started the band.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted a 6-man team, you know, like that, like Mick Jagger and them for the Beatles and them with a small side now. You know, one of each, you know. We wouldn't have the volume as that, but we had the music and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God I have to see that too. Look, we lost it all. It all fall through.
Mm-hmm.
So we end up now saying, look, that the same year, the same year that February, you know, Carnival has been February
right.
After May.
And they moved it to May because of polio, right?
Yes.
And then the rain in May.
Right, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wash Out Mass and Me.
Wash Out Mass and Me.
Came out. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. My brain's still holding something.
73. 73, you know?
Yep.
So the band started here, and we do a lot of things, you know?
But over the years, you've also done some masterpiece arrangements. And to me, the challenge is topping what you do over and over and over.
Yeah.
You haven't lost the fire for that, have you?
No, I still here. The old boy still there. I go with 66 this year. And you know, I still here.
You still going to make 67, 68, 69. Man, stop being a West Indian batsman and giving up after 50. Put your head down and bat.
I love that.
Looking forward to having you and hearing you and looking at you doing what you love to do. Because I know this is love.
Yes, of course. It's love all the way.
Right.
So I just want to let all the Barbados musicians and people, children, bring your children, who love fun, bring your family and all, to pan upon the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And Friday night live.
Yes. We're going to it. We will see you there. And my brother, yes, I will look for you and we will talk. You got to get some rest.
God bless.
God bless, my brother.
And thanks for having me again. Eh?
Anytime.
And my manager, Josanne Leonard.
And Josanne, as we say, we could talk forever on this. But Josanne and I can get together live as well. Thank you, my brother. And of course,
respect my brother.
Love my brother. Right. Len Boogsy Sharp, you heard him. The Phase 2 Pan Groove Man is in. And of course, Tegan Tappin. Liam Teague is also going to be part of this because he's coming in as well. See Kevin Morrison down here shaking his head while Boogsy was talking. Let me just touch a piece of... I kept it under there for a bit. That's Phase 2 Pan Groove, and you can catch them live at Pan Pan the Sand. The mastery of Len Boogsy Sharp. Right. Let me go to the phone lines while I work on this. Good afternoon. This is Fireworks.
Mr. Johnson.
My Lord, how are you, sir?
Not too bad, sir, but just hanging in there.
Hanging. Keep hanging. Tell me, what's up?
Listen, something that bothers me, I wanted to talk with you for a long time. I always hear people saying about party song. What is a party song? I come along as a boy, dancing to Gina Dinah. All types of songs. You dance in the dance hall.
Uh-huh.
But I got some young DJs in Barbados that came along and tried to separate young people from old people and say there's a young people's song. There's an old people's song. Now it backfire on them now, see? So then they want to go and sing in a it's a competition.
Mm-hmm.
They believe they got to sing a slow song to be a commentary.
Well, that's one of the things. That's one of the things we were talking about in studio here with Kevin Moore, because when I played Karen just now, which has a beat, which has a bounce, which you could dance and tap your foot to, is a song about caring for people, and we don't care for each other each more. So you could have what you call a party song with a message in it. And over the years, there have been lots of songs I think you could call party, in that you could dance it. If you want to walk up and throw your hand in the air, if you want to dance it. Sparrow, for example, had Maria. And I remember Maria being recorded in about three different tempos. There was a waltz tempo to it. There was a calypso tempo to it. So, you know, it just depends on the producer, how they make the song and what you want to do when the song playing.
But Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
I went to parties for all my life. And you don't only walk up. Walk up with the last lap.
When you're looking for a girl to carry home.
You know, you're going to everything walking up in a party. The only way you can party is walking up.
No, apparently these days the only way to party is if you get instructions.
If people went to, I went to dances, we had dance.
Well, you see, that's a dance. You didn't go to a fair. You didn't go to...
Conga Man. All them songs, people danced on a dance floor.
Well.
And all of a sudden now, these people tell me about there's a young people music, old people music. It's just like even the old time days, you go to the cinema. Young people used to appreciate anything that good. They want a cowboy picture, they want a musical, they watch a love picture. Once it's a good picture.
Yeah, but that's because their parents used to take them. You see, nowadays, the parents don't take them, we'll go by ourselves. And so we choose to go where we choose to go to. One thing I can tell you for sure, we ain't turning back the hands of the clock, it's not going to happen. The other thing that's going to happen, though, is that the tempo of the music is going to change. Because Kevin Moore sitting across from me, for example, has aged about 10 years since last. You know, when the first time he came to Fireworks, he wasn't as old as he is now. That's one. Two, back then, he didn't have much responsibilities. You see, he could just stay out till 3 o'clock in the morning, come home, mother would cook, and leave something on the stove for him. What are you laughing at? Is that not true, Mr. Moore?
Still true.
Oh, it's still true?
In terms of, because of how, in terms of work and whatever, if you go out late night or whatever, mom still take care of me, man.
I ain't worried about that part. I'm talking about if you still have the stamina to go through the night, work till 3 o'clock in the morning, and 5 o'clock, take a quick shower, and go to work, and work 8 hours.
You don't need eight. No.
Right. That's called the middle passage. Wait till you get to old age. Right. When you get up and your back go cracks. You understand? or you lost the breathing for the trumpet. Talking to Kevin Moore, Fireworks, in association with West Indian Waterproofing, Armstrong Agencies, Costcap. We heard from Len Boogsy Sharp. We got more. Stay with us. 15 minutes after 3 o'clock, Fireworks, and in the studio with me is Kevin Moore. If you have no idea who Kevin Moore is, youngish. Musician, trumpeter,
still young, man.
Arranger. He did the arrangements for this. Well, I should say you worked on arrangements only, or you did writing too, right?
Yeah, I wrote the lyrics for this as well.
As well, yeah.
Talk while you hear get cut. That's how it does work in the barber shop. Every single topic does pop up. And you know the conversation don't stop. From old men in them 80s to young boys still at school. Endless dialogue whilst them here get through. Guaranteed to make you think about public affairs. Never know you can learn so much when you're there.
And that was 2016, recorded live at the Scotiabank Junior Monarch Competition. In 2011, you did this for Mandisa. Good afternoon, Aisha. Miss Aisha. Right, and of course she went on to the senior level and made it to the semis. Right. So this year, 2019. He is not working with the juniors, he says. But if you heard this.
Wow! Must be confusion in your mind. If you see, then you shall find, and you can call me.
Sometimes.
Not all the time.
Sometimes.
One, you called 10 times yesterday. 10 more again today. Think you can program I, but I live my own damn life. Seems like you want more than company.
Lead pipe.
Yes, please.
Porgy. Whatever name he or he murdered. Porgy.
Porgy. Lead pipe.
Talented, two very super, talented youngsters.
Super talented.
What was it like working with him?
Well, that's a correction. They do the live versions for these songs.
You did the live versions for
it? Right. So they do the songs in the studio, so just Jay, mm-hmm. but not the production. So the version that anyone that listened to semi-finals, mm-hmm. And if you listen at finals, there will be the Kevin Moore version, the Trumpet Boy Entertainment version.
So you changed it?
Yeah. Not change.
Enhanced the enhanced, presentation enhanced, of enhanced. The music.
Correct. So
that would be so easy. Yeah.
Right. So I would have worked with lead pipe. It's fun working with lead pipe. It's impossible not to laugh while working with lead pipe. Just Jay was very free. He allowed me to do. You know, some producers want the song to go exactly the same way or whatever. Just Jay was very free. He allowed me to take some liberty in working with the song, mm-hmm. as well as Rennie Nelson, Neely Utz, who is finally we got to work together on a project. We would have came through school together. he would tell a story where he was probably because of 90% of the trouble he got in at school. so we finally got to work together in the industry and to create something together. So the live version was done by Trumpet Boy. For semifinals and finals coming up.
Right. I got a couple more. I got to lay down on the line here for you right after this.
Let the music play. Let the music play.
Carnival, it gives you a feeling to throw your stress away. No, we in the mood for some fasting. Spread your arms and make a way.
Oh,
Faith All Night. 25 minutes after 3 o'clock. That was given the Kevin Moore treatment too for the live version.
Correct. Live version. Faith.
These people come to you and say, yes, fix actually, it up for me, please.
Yes, please. I actually met with Faith yesterday. I had a meeting with Jamal as well yesterday. I did Jamal Slocum's live version as well. So we met with the whole South Central team and talked through how we are going to go about creating that finals impact. I met with Faith yesterday and talked through with her and her team about how we are going to go through it as well. The Lead Pipe would be my other artist in the finals. For the semifinals, I would work with Bobo and who's the reserve, and Yannick as well.
Yannick.
And Michael Thompson, he did his transcription. I didn't do his arrangement. But I thoroughly enjoyed working with all the artists this year, for sure. How the process works, the artists have they go to the producers, get the sounds created. The NCF announces that they are in the semifinals. And then they call and say, well, I want the trumpet boy arrangement for this. So I work on it from that end.
You want a manager? You have a manager? You want a record keeper?
I have a very beautiful manager. Very beautiful, very on point. Keeps me.
Something tell me this manager ain't got no man at the top of it. No, but it might have something in front. No, man at the end.
Man at the end.
Man at the end. Yeah. You know, put a wall in front.
Put a wall in front. Yes.
It's the wall that is worry us in the end.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Right. Yeah. Okay. Wait. We got a song in there somewhere, boy. Better start writing, boy.
If I write it, I might get in trouble.
See how these fellas just throw me in the deep end. That's all right. Yeah. There are a couple of things. I know Kevin Moore from the times we've sat down and talked to each other. And from the times we've sat and critiqued Pick of the Crop finals and things that didn't go right.
Correct.
So I know that if you're arranging, there are certain things you would want. And where does the artistic input of Kevin Moore say, this is the wall that you can't go beyond, or this is the wall where you throw your hand up and say, I ain't doing this one?
It's more of a vibe, uh-huh. Right? And
I can't even remember this vibe.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it depends on a lot of factors.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, an artist will come and say, well, I want you to do an arrangement for me.
Mm-hmm.
Then artists will come back with this next tweak and this next tweak and this next tweak, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get certain artists who bring a vibe like, I want these tweaks, I want this work, but I won't pay. Right? So that's one of the walls, right? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, it's a business and they got something to feed.
And they have to pay the manager. And you have to pay the manager.
Yeah, all that stuff. You know what I mean?
So the manager needs to be paid.
Correct.
Right.
So it is a situation where I think I'm very easy to work with. Most of the artists that I've worked with, I've continued a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell people all the time, Peter Ram called me the first time in 2013, and I've done all of his arrangements since then.
Is it hard to arrange Ram?
Nah, boy, Peter Ram's one of the easiest men in the world to work with.
But why? No, I ain't talking about work with, I'm talking about arrange. Because Ram didn't start in Kaiso. Ram was a dub artist.
But Ram is one of those artists that knows what he wants. So when Ram called Ram to say, yeah, you know Ram Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kev, I just sent you a song, this is what you want. And that's what he can get. I'm going to put in a little bit more or whatever, but he gets what he wants. And he's not an artist that does not know what he wants. He's not an artist where you got to do the arrangement and then he got to hear it to see what he want from it. He's an artist that say, this is what you want. This is what you want. And he gets it.
When you talk about an arrangement, and this is one of the things I want to pitch at you, the trumpet man and trumpet man entertainment, your business. I've listened to Kaisos from all over the region, right? And one of the things I've found, I also make the comment about Pan as well. One of the things I've found is that a lot of our arrangers don't like upfront kicking horns in your head as soon as the song starts. And to me, if you take a song like Cat Attack that I played a couple of days ago, right? From the opening bars of that, your foot starts tap or T.
Mm.
You got the vibe, the kick from the start. Trinidad Arrangers throw brass in your face as soon as the song opens. Horn lines killing you dead. You know, the man can't sing too good, but the horns are never kicking so hard that you forget that he can't sing so good by the time he come on. What holds us back from that kind of in-your-face, kick down the brass from the word go?
I think that for finals, for finals generally, the arrangers do have, and this for Soca Monarch speaking specifically, the arrangers generally do have horns kicking from the beginning. But if you go from the production level through the semifinals, the artists, I think a lot of artists have the impression that horns from a generation before. So they don't want horns in the recording.
Well, why you young fellas don't say so?
But they don't want horns from the recording, but they want horns in the...
In the final product when they get the finals.
Because arrangement is 20 points. So, I mean... You got to get the arrangement.
So you want a car next year for the arrangers? I just ask it.
I'll take whatever they give. But the reality is that a lot of the artists want the song in and it's a lot to do with cost as well too, because you gotta pay the horn man to come in and play. The reality is that St. Florence do not sound that good, generally people can tell the difference between St. Florence and
I gotta say this though. John Wright is the only man I know that's got a keyboard on the song decent. Okay?
John Wright is a special person. John and I will say Darion Bailey as well.
Oh yeah, that's true. Sorry, Mr. Bailey, I forgot him.
They are special people. But John and Darion are two of the keyboardists who program their own patches, their own tones.
I could tell a John Roy keyboard from anywhere.
Right. So John
I don't know what he does there, but
John creates his own tones, he makes tones or whatever the case may be to get whatever song he wants. Not too many people do that. Darion as well. Not too many people can do that. So in terms of creating that sound, I mean, Marshall does perform with Darion on stage, and you don't realize that he ain't got live horns because Darion is the live horns. But it does a special talent when you talk about genius and ingenuity. Those two guys fit that bill correctly. But generally, the younger artists the artists that are working with what we have in terms of soca right now, generally are not recording with horns. The horns come in for the live performance, which adds to the live performance. But my qualm is that you only hear those versions once, right?
Yeah.
Because the radio station generally record for the show and record the show, but they don't really play it on air. They really don't play on air.
Well, sometimes, and there are restrictions to how many times you can play a live recording,
right.
Because people start, you know, getting touchy about their rights,
right.
One. But two, the other thing is this, to me, I've heard it over and over sitting in this chair when I do, or sitting on the brass stacks when I put on the other hat, or even sometimes when people just call me. There is a clamor, and I talk into all the musicians now, all the backup singers and the rest of folk who get into this, NCF2. There is a clamor from some of the rail people, those who like music, who would say, we're passing up a golden opportunity to have one instrumental versions of some of our big songs, for karaoke, for various other things. Not for people to use for advertisements for free. No, you must pay for your rights. But those special arrangements, because finals night's arrangements, you are correct, always have sometimes a little too much, a little too little. For example, Adrian Clark's Spood song had more spooge in it on finals night than any other night. Now, I don't know if it killed him, but I like to hear it. It sounded good to actually hear a song on finals night that had an indigenous Bajan song to it. Or Punka doing tuck band rhythm or ballroom on finals night was completely different to, you know, tent recordings. So I believe there must be an avenue for the exploitation of Pick of the Crop Finals in a package form.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Elton John is way past his prime as far as I'm concerned, but he put out a box set again of all the old hits and he called it Diamonds or something or something and put it back out. Now we're talking about people who go into hard drive and YouTube, but he's still producing a box set of CDs because they're people who want it.
Correct.
And that's money, that's royalties, and he, Elton John, he ain't need the extra how much ever it sell. So why it is we don't understand that. And it comes, and here's where I'm going to challenge you, the arranger, now again, because we're talking about Pan Weekend coming up. Arranging for Pan. Because I still find when I listen to most of our Pan sides, now they're getting a little different because Ziggy and them fellas spreading their wings a little bit. I just hear the melody over and over and over and over and over and over again for 7 minutes. I hear no variation. I hear no, you know, little classical go low, and we still ponging Pan as opposed to playing the instrument. So I challenge you, Mr. Arranger Man, Trumpet Boy.
Right. In terms of Pan, for sure, I would say that Ziggy and those guys from Mosaic would mm-hmm. probably be the forerunners in developing arrangements and the sound of Pan in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the other groups who may generally just stick to melody, I don't think that is only limitations of arrangers.
Mm-hmm.
But when you got a group of 12 men, you can't got it sound like a Pan side that going hundreds of men from Trinidad. That's the truth. In terms of rehearsal spaces, in terms of rehearsal times,
mm-hmm.
If you check the culture of the Pan in Trinidad, men, they start to rehearse and go home and it's finished.
Yeah.
Not go home at 12 o'clock,
right,
go home at 10.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In Barbados, I think the only place that we can really call a Pan yard in Barbados is by the Village Gate, where Ziggy and his guys would rehearse. And we got to worry about people calling the police because they're keeping noise at 10 o'clock and they won't go to bed and all that stuff. So there's a lot that goes into the development of that because there's time. As people won't understand, but most of the Pan arrangements aren't written.
No, they're not.
They're not written.
As a matter of fact, let me also say this. In a lot of cases, Pan men don't hear the whole song
until
the end.
Yeah, correct.
You learn a piece and you learn a piece and you learn a piece.
Correct.
And you at it and you're wondering, why doing this foolishness?
So when you have situations like, for instance, I mean, this was a problem when it was at BCC. It's still a problem now,
mm-hmm.
where students can't practice past certain times. Students can't go out there and practice on Sundays because they keep it too much noise for neighbors.
Right.
I mean, the reality is you can't do much development if you can't practice. So what I would say is that Stefan Walker has a Dr. Walcott now.
Yeah.
Has a...
Got a lot of doctors in there these days, boy.
He has a...
Wyclef, good afternoon to you, sir.
He has a Pan arranging course. Well, part of his class, his Caribbean music class, is Pan arrangement. And you think everyone that comes through BCC has to do it. And it's a very developmental course as well. I think I learned a lot about Pan arranging from it. How many other years I left BCC. So it is more... I think that development needs to happen because, again, you have, as I said, Ziggy and Mark Ford and Tyrone Anderson and those guys who are with Mosaic,
mm-hmm.
who are doing a lot of arranging and arranging for that song. That sound, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got to deal with where else in Barbados are people allowed to go at 6 o'clock and practice Pan until they finish, you know? And do it on a week or daily basis for 4 weeks. Or do it on a daily basis for 2 weeks. You know what I mean? It is sad where... And if any as a teacher as well, where students can, or persons who are willing to learn, can't practice because they get told, don't keep noise in my house. Don't keep noise in my ear. Your neighbors quarreling. People calling police. So development of arts and culture needs to be a holistic, nationalistic approach where everybody understands that everyone is trying to improve the culture rather than just keep noise, quote unquote.
20 minutes to 4 o'clock, Fireworks 2019, in association with our sponsors. Let me thank them indeed. West India Waterproofing, Armstrong Agencies, COSCAP. Prime Minister, are you listening? Those big red buildings on the garrison and the buildings behind it, they got a lot of houses behind there. I used to run boat in that area when I was a youngster. And they got grass growing out the window now. And they really ain't doing anything. So we could knock it down. We just knocked down a lot of things. Build a nice, big, open. We need us, Uncle Cow or Uncle Busy, you know, to build a nice, big, open thing. Four walls. We could get, we call this fellow Rock Hard, Hard Rock, to cement the sides and close it up nice and thing. No asbestos in the roof, please. High roof. So precast, pre-conco, and these guys could put up some things. And I don't think the ladies on Bush Hill can worry too much about Pan making noise in their ears. I'm not sure the people behind the back door. There are some people behind there in the corner that we got, you know. But Gwyneth on the corner there ain't a mine. The horses in the stables ain't a mine. And the fellas by the drill hall should know what that song like too. They got plenty place to park. They got lots of ZR vans running up and down. Let me give the youngsters some place to play, you know, right next to the museum. I don't know. Prime Minister, you listen. You go put my name on a plaque or anything. You know, I'm just supposing, suggesting. I know advisor, I know game PO, you know. Just trying to think. You know, it's fireworks after all, you know. Oh, sorry, wrong person. Oh, okay. I get a message. Get a message from the Prime Minister. Ask John. John? John, are you listening? John. Oh, I ain't got John on speed dial anymore. I got to check. I got old number for John. Right. Kevin Moore is my guest on the Fireworks of 2019. And we're talking music. We're talking Pan, we're talking all sorts of things. We're talking arrangements. I want you to listen to this for a minute, Kev, and we're going to continue this conversation we were having off air in a minute. But before I do that, let me catch up on some messages. Good afternoon, Dennis. Good afternoon, Kevin. Great day to you all. I love to hear the brass section, especially when it's recorded live. You talk about Byron Lee, Ed Watson, the Brass Circle, Leston Paul. That's the name I was trying to remember. Our police force, and of course, Boo, with the festival van, and he loves Tuck as well. And said, Kevin spoke about practicing Pan. I remember a while back there were Pan lessons opposite the school meals building at the corner of Country Road. So, you know, and people complain about noise. Other one said, Dennis, I will leave St. Lucie many nights to go to the NCF building in West Terrace to listen to Pan practice there. Could that be used again? They were told they're making too much noise. The people in West Terrace pay a lot of money for their middle-class homes, and they would like to enjoy their peace and quiet in the night. Stop making all that noise with that old Pan thing. That's what Ziggy tell me they say. Sorry, Ziggy. Didn't mean to call your name. That's what I was told. I just say. The other thing is steel in the steel shed. Well, I suppose. Steel in the steel shed. The other thing is that once upon a time, you used to have live music on the road for... Yeah, Kevin shakes his head. Can't do anymore. Dennis Johnson, you don't know how to behave. Yes, I know how to behave. I just behave badly sometimes. Anyway, yeah. Brassman used to be on the road. Steepan used to be on the road. And they used to make little change.
Well,
these days, it's DJ on the road.
Well, I don't know.
You don't want to go on the road?
I. That's one of the ticklish things. Back when there were brassmen and live band on the road, they had live bands dominating the areas, Square One and Crossfire, and even Coalition. Before then, Coalition, even before those guys.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And Electric.
Remember that.
Rusty and Double Explosion, Jabe. And long before
you're a little older than I thought you were, man. Yeah. Or your grandmother tell you about this?
Nah, you know what them guys, you know what them guys, man. I grew up on them guys.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have, I would say to those who are not, who are missing the tuck and the brass and the steel pan, to check Is a Vibe and Trumpet Boy. Is a Vibe and Trumpet Boy Entertainment on Festive Fridays, every Friday, 6:30.
Are you gonna pay? Are you paying for all these ads, right? I get adding up every time you say so, though.
That Trumpet Boy is Is a Vibe, though, our brass section. And we do Trumpet Boy and Is a Vibe, sorry, are at Festive Fridays, and we do the parade.
Truly, yeah, yeah. That's a good thing.
Yeah, so
I will allow that one.
We still got some stuff happening.
I will send, but do people know how to do anything to live music on the road?
It's a very live atmosphere. I think people understand it, and that's on a much smaller scale than Kaduma, obviously. I really don't think that
they can't walk up to your live brass, though.
Man, they can. They don't know the difference. when I'm on the road and the spirits start to kick in and the sun start to beat down and all the elements put together, them can hear the song, boy. That's it.
Let me go to this phone before I do this thing here for you, just in case it takes longer. Fireworks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson, and good afternoon and welcome to
Mr. Johnson is that fellow that's work.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Thank you very much. Mr. Johnson is
that
other fellow.
Good afternoon, Dennis and Kevin.
That's better.
Welcome, Len Boosie Sharp. Let me tell you something. I have been privileged to go to Carnival in Trinidad, and they call it.
What's
the
her name?
Hmm?
What's her name?
Who? Whose name?
The woman who carried you Trinidad to Carnival. You ain't go to Trinidad to see all the clothes that Peter Mitchell had on the people.
One time they said that Peter Mitchell could only win with color, and he said we could only win with color. He come in black and white and tear down the place with black and white.
Peter Wickham tell me that I only like Mitchell because he like a lot of cloth. I don't like to see nakedness on the road. Apparently.
Look, I'm not getting into anything with yourself and Peter Wickham. You're all going to tussle at him.
Anyway, listen, you called me to tell me.
Panyard. They call the police when they got Panyard practice in Trinidad. It's like a fact.
Once upon a time, the good people in Woodbrook used to say, you can't make all that noise in my head. But then they realized that in addition to the noise, men want food, they want drink. They want little something, and it was an opportunity for the community to get together, and then it became a lime, a vibe, a fet, and things grew from there. Yep.
And everybody had the persons that would support you. Go to
man from bank clerk to government minister.
Yes sir. Catelli, you name them, and then Pan is so popular in Trinidad. Every other person, young girls and boys, you see them two sticks jumping on a Maxi Taxi hitting Pine Yard.
But here's the thing.
The finger,
huh? And this is why, and this is my worry though. I see it here in Barbados too. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time, when I went to any Pan event, I used to count the number of women. Mm-hmm. Now I count the number of men because they got more women playing Pan than men.
Okay.
So I keep trying to find out what we men doing.
Well, there we go.
They ain't managing companies. They ain't home taking care of the children. They ain't beating plan. What are they doing? I know where they are. I can send Trumpet Boy up there to teach them how to play pan.
Let me tell you
or
something.
Or blow trumpet.
You want to hear something?
Yes, sir.
Pass by the Savannah panorama night and tell me if you... Pan's don't call your name. Playing. You talking about Pan? Sweetest thing you can hear on earth, man. Like, you can imagine Enrico or Coletelli or one of those cutting loose and it's competitive and the Pan's talking.
How much time did you went to another carnival?
I went twice.
Twice. Okay. All right.
It's sufficient to have an experience.
Boy, some men only get to experience things once.
And there we go. Let me tell you, Pan, you remember they introduced Pan in, I think it was in St. Mary's Church at one time, that Steve Pan played in St. Mary's Church. Mm-hmm. Back then, you remember that? So you're around here long. You're in no
company. But let me say to you, this is one of the things that make me laugh from where I sit. Mm-hmm. I remember.
Yeah.
Right? my family lived on 63 Traggery Road in Woodbrook. Invader Spaniard was 147 Traggery Road in Woodbrook.
Okay.
There was a little church that my father used to go and sing, he Ave Maria and he classical skinksk, you know, and Sunday and he the big.
Yeah.
And they asked a few of us rabble rousers one day to come to the 8:30 mass and bring the pan and things so they could hear what it is we're doing.
Right.
I was playing drums. Drums, right? Not even playing band. I was playing drums.
Right.
My father went to 63 Traggery Road, which wasn't far from the church, and got some cheesecloth and came and covered the drum and tell me I drumming too loud in the church. You ever tried to drum with cheesecloth on top of drum? I drum it till it went off, and I tell him, boss man, you put me under the choir loft. So the song bouncing off and coming down. How are you going to drum soft? You can't drum soft. I sit in across from Kevin Moore. Kevin, you can drum softly?
It's possible, but not with cheesecloth on.
Man, come on, man. You drum soft for jazz when they got
that fan. It's possible. It depends on the style and what you're dealing with. But if you're dealing with Kaiso and
man, we playing pan, making a joyful noise unto the Lord. How you can drum soft, buddy?
But that would be an altered effort. Altered.
That's what it is?
Not alter.
Let me tell you, right? I know I kicked the drum, and it went dip 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 dip, and when you hit the hi-hat, it go.
Hear you.
You can't hit soft. Look, but let me say this to you on a serious note, though.
Yeah.
What we have to do, though, and what we've learned over the years, is that you don't have to pong it all the time. You could, you know, you could change your tone and thing, and you know, but the difference between playing in church, playing outdoors, is different. It's a different vibe. Mm-hmm. And Kevin would tell you as a musician, I'm sure he can tell you about various venues that we've sat together with him as my co-anchor. And depending on where you sit or where it is, you hear a completely different sound from what you were hearing when you were recording, perhaps indoors, right, Kev?
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
So you have to, what we have to get to is the stage where we understand the instruments to the point where we know how to play them depending on where we are. And that could only come from practice, and which is what Kevin and I were talking about when we talk about the youngsters at BCC and Pan Men trying to find a place to practice.
Okay, let me bring it home.
Yeah, tell me.
Yeah, let me bring it home. Pan is so pronounced in Trinidad that they used to have a competition. You call it the best of the rest. Because everybody can get up in the first league. The best of the rest.
And the rest used to be better.
But I can tell you, I hear the best of the rest. I'm talking about, according to a certain, I've had too sweet.
Well, I want you to listen to this since you're talking about Pan. This is the Pan Caribbean Steel Orchestra that was brought together for World Cup 2007. They were rehearsing in the center of Kensington. The center of Kensington Oval, late one night, practicing. Okay? All right, that's Kitchener's Pan in A Minor being played by a Pan Caribbean Steel Orchestra in the middle of Kensington Oval practicing for World Cup 2007. I got a question for you. How many mics do you think do that?
My answer is still four.
Well, that was done by one mic, suspended from a crane. And the man was moving it around to see where he could pick up the best sound. Now, the reason why I put that on is to say this, right? If you don't have technical quality to back up what you do as an arranger, if you don't have the expertise that says, this is how to bring the best out of my arrangement, we gain anyway at all?
No, and exactly that. When you were speaking just now, I thought about it, because a musician could compensate for wherever he's playing if the engineer decides that.
if the engineer decides, I threw that at you on purpose, you know, because you sat here quietly today, not, just, you know.
I'm a changed man.
Man, give me a chance, man. You change your clothes, then you're a changed man, my friend. Yeah. I go get independent observers to you know, to verify that. Go ahead.
If the engineers decide that you are not important to the sound, you are not important to the sound. Listen, I went to a show the other day and I said to the drummer, you could have turned up with a drum, with the kick drum, the snare and the hi-hat alone, because the toms were non-existent. Mm-hmm. Right? And then some engineers got the horns mixed way in the background, sound like they're playing through a plastic bag. So it is, as much as you can do as an arranger, as much as you can do as a player and performer. And that's why you see the elite people walk with their own engineers, yeah. Right? Anywhere Nicholas Barker goes, Adrian Odo goes. Because Adrian will give Nicholas his song. So the reality is that you need engineers that understand what the sound necessary is. And as I said, the elite groups, the elite players will walk with their own engineers. Or their own, will have their own set engineers, a set of engineers that will go wherever with them. Generally, engineering in Barbados sometimes is a hit or miss. I mean, you get a good mix one day, the next day you get a bad mix. But there are some very good engineers in Barbados as well. But as I said, if the engineer decides that what you're presenting is not necessary for the audience to hear, especially in competition.
But how can they decide that?
Because the engineers do the mix and the engineer does the mix, and the boy can't tell the engineer how to mix. That's a reality. So
obviously you ain't playing no live music this year, right? Because the engineer can just hit mute when you go. Right?
I mean, if you mute the trumpets in a band,
you're in trouble. You're in trouble. So,
I mean, we were the loudest in the brass section, mm-hmm. but the reality are supposed to be the loudest in the brass section, I'll say. But a mix can kill or create an arrangement. It can create a show with a proper mix. Is a sight to behold. It is, because a mix can allow you to feel. There's a point in time. There's this thin line, where you stop hearing music and start to feel it.
Right. No, I'm glad you said that, because that's the other thing I was coming to in a minute. Okay, and it's this. When I listen to some of our pan people, they're picking notes. They're not feeling the instrument. They're not feeling the music. They're not, to me, it lacks connectivity with what you're doing. I don't mean jumping around or thing. I just mean feeling the instrument. As a trumpeter, I mean, it's not the same thing, but you got to feel it.
Yeah, you got to feel it. The thing is, I think we have quite a few top fan players in Barbados right now. As I said, you have the Ziggy, you have the Mark Ford, Tyrone, Anderson, Brittany, all of basically say the front line of Mosaic.
There's a young lady on the front line of Mosaic that, I mean, I've watched her perform, and I remember Pamp on the Sand, I think it was Pamp on the Sand last year. If it wasn't last year, it was the year before, where I think it was St. Lucie Sec impressed me.
Yeah.
And when I spoke to the manager, arranger,
Ryan,
yeah. You know, he was telling me about working with them and those they've converted to the straight and narrow from the wild and wetless because of the input of the pan.
Yeah.
But I could feel that they were enjoying what they were doing on stage. It was electric.
Correct. And a good thing you mentioned St. Lucie, a major part of it is that a lot of the schools in Barbados do not have somebody as strong a music program as they should have. And that's not because the music teachers aren't trained.
Mm-hmm.
St. Lucie has a very, very, very strong pan program. And it's funny because Ryan is not a pan player.
That's what he said to me, and I was fascinated by that fact.
But Ryan works with what he has, and he was able to develop a program there that is, I would say, amazing.
I want to tip my hat to him because I tell you, I was really impressed with them.
There are some schools in Barbados with some very amazing music programs. I'm not going to toot our own horn, but down in St. Andrew, we have a very good
A man program. Who plays trumpet say, you know, tooty horn. What are you going to do? You're going to blow my tuba?
Nah. No.
Blow your horn, buddy.
Right. It's at Andrew, the Allen School. You have a very good program as well. But our program is, unlike St. Lucie, St. Lucie is centered around the pan. We have a more rounded program in that we have horns and a rhythm section and horns, rhythm section. We have a lot of singers. We do not have pans, but we do send our players to Mosaic to learn because we have a lot of students coming from Hillaby Turner's Hall who already play a pan.
Mm-hmm.
So we send them to Mosaic to play pan through Mosaic and they can perform with Aline anytime we request.
Now, I got to ask you to tune your trumpet and turn it up because I got a WhatsApp message here that says, my mic overpowering everybody and mic not working. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 mics in the studio. They're all the same mics. And Kevin's volume is up to all. Is that Kevin is being, I think, a little bit...
Reserved.
That's what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. This is the new and improved Kevin
version.
Yeah.
This trumpet boy entertainment.
muted horns. I used to say muted horns by Ricky Bradford. I got to say muted horns by you now. Because I can't say Dr. Wyclef. Here we go. Your volume is good, but we are straining to hear the guest. My guest is a deep-voiced, big-voiced fella, and trust me, his volume is right up, plus every single thing on the board. There's nothing I could do on the board to lift Mr. Moore any higher than he is.